Welcome back to another 10 Minute Tuesday, and Joey and I are going to talk about... talk about an unbelievable topic today.
So unbelievable.
We're going to talk about how to hunt a loaf pond, and we're going to ask the guy who's been hunting for 28 years, since he's mentioned that to me, that we're gonna ask his opinion about how he would hunt a loaf pond. And Joey, why don't you just give us a few starting points on... on loaf pond hunts.
Yeah. And the reason why Cal is asking me that is because he doesn't know how to hunt a loaf pond. And that's okay. In my tenure, my triple tenure, almost at this point.
Yep.
Here's the best advice I can give you guys. Is absolutely have some floaters. If you have the area to put full bodies on, please put them on. If you have two different positions for birds, it just looks so much better. But then also, the really nice thing about loaf ponds is you don't have to get out there right away in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So what time would you set up on a loaf pond?
Probably like 9:30. No,
it I'll probably go a little like, earlier maybe.
I was going to say, like, it depends. Like, there's two different types of loafs. Like...
there's the 9 a.m. loaf would say, and the 11 a.m. loaf.
Nah, I would say get out there at 8.
Yeah.
Get out there at 8 for the 9 a.m. loaf.
For sure.
Because the birds are getting off the roost, and they're going to eat, and they're coming back to this water source to come and chill, socialize, and drink. And so if you can put two different types of decoys out there, like full body silhouettes or floaters, please do so. What I see a lot of people doing is they put too many floaters on the loaf pond. And what that does is it's so hard to create a realistic water spread, especially with geese, because you end up going outward into the middle of the pond. Because when birds go and they land on a loaf pond, they land in the middle and then they swim to the shoreline. And so... if you are able to put full bodies, silhouettes on land and then a dozen to three dozen floaters on the water and spread them out really long along the water versus out, that way you have less of a chance of them short-stopping you.
Yeah, another reason I agree with you about putting less decoys out too is especially if you're going to go set up at like 8 a.m., what you're trying to do is you're trying to beat the loaf, right? Like you're trying to beat them to the loaf. And so I think that, at least in the way I feel about it, is if we're setting up on a loaf pond, I'd rather make it look like the start of a build to a loaf pond versus them being like, oh, there's a lot of birds down there. I guess we'll go, you know, because a lot of the time a loaf pond, like especially some of the birds that you're hunting on that pond, they should kind of already know a lot of the time where that loaf pond is. And so... when you're hunting those birds, usually you're not needing to attract them like you might in a field where you're trying to hunt them when they're new birds migrating in or whatever it is and they're looking for a place to feed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people do use a lot of decoys on a loaf pond.
Yep.
I think it's like building.
I think another way to make your loaf pond setup look better is to have a lot of motion. And I think the best motion to have, especially for geese, on your loaf pond is to have a jerk rig. And you see people running jerk rigs for ducks all the time, but you never see people running a jerk rig for geese. And if you look at geese on a loaf, they're constantly swimming and moving. Just like any waterfowl on a water source, they're constantly moving. So if you can add any sort of ripple to that water, you are going to look so much more realistic and you are going to kill so many more birds.
Yeah.
And I'm a product of this. Like, I'm thinking, you know what? We have ducks, we have geese, we have specks, we have snows, like whatever. And it's like, I always throw a jerk rig on the ducks. It's like, no, throw a jerk rig on your geese. It will be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Another question I wanted to ask you is, do you prefer a layout blind or an A-frame blind? Or, like, talk about the hide a little bit. Because I do think a lot of guys throw an A-frame on the shoreline. And you're... I think a lot of people think that like an A-frame blind can really blend in good on a shoreline, but there's not that much tall cover around you some of the time. And that big black hole, especially on a spot where you're trying to make birds feel like it's kind of the build to a loaf pond and they want to be comfortable. I just think a lot of the time, like that A-frame, if it's not built in with like taller grass around it, just looks weird.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on the area that you're in and whatever. There's so many variables to waterfowl, but the lower you can be to the ground and the less area you can take up, the better you're going to do.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. So if you have a bunch of trees and you have a bunch of tall grass, throw an A-frame for sure. However, if you have a lot of short grass and let's say you have... Like when I was down south, you have like a cattle pond. You have ground, cut, sand, water. You know, in those situations, you're better off putting an A-frame and then matching your grass to the surrounding areas.
You mean back, though, against that taller stuff or against that cut.
Right.
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 I've seen a lot of people put them like right out on a sandbar, you know, or like... kind of more out in the open, you know, there'd be a little grass around or whatever, but they rely on the fact that they're setting like really tall grass on the A-frame to make it look like there's a spot of grass right there, but it doesn't blend in that well. I like layup lines a lot, like up on a shoreline or just tucking really into that tight, that grass. I think that's a sick way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the lower or the layout that has the lower profile to where you look as natural as possible is best, you know? Yeah. And at some points that might be, like when I was younger, man, we would dig in, we would take shovels, and we would dig out for our layout blinds to be, like, level with the ground. And we would dig out so low that it would be hard to open up the layout doors. However, those were some of the best hunts that I ever had because you were so... immersed with the natural vegetation.
Yeah.
Now there is something to be said for, hey, this is just a random bush here, you know, and you just look like a natural thing from the area. However, I think the lowest profile you can get is the best.
Yeah. Love it. What's the time to clean your shit up? Like, when are you like, dude, the loaf hunt's over? How late are you willing to stay a loaf hunt out?
A loaf hunt, I'd say 1.
1 p.m. is, yeah.
1 p.m. You know, let's say you get set up at 8. Birds are supposed to be start coming at 9.
9 to 11.
9 to 11,
okay.
Somewhere in there, and then birds will trickle in after that. If they're not there by noon, 1, which is, like, usually starting to get hotter and hotter and hotter, that's when they come to water. You're done.
You're done, dude.
Yeah.
They're feeding this afternoon.
You're done.
Yep.
Yeah. That's essentially okay. How I would run a loaf hunt.
Yeah. Love that.
Pretty
all
much.
Right. Well, this was How to Hunt a Loaf. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys in the next one.